Welcome to the Sounds of Success, brought to you by the National Association of Professional Martial Artists. This audio magazine is a tool for generating profitable ideas and for taking your business to new levels of excellence and performance. Here you'll find real-life case studies of school owners just like you who have applied our proven successful business and marketing principles to their school and are creating the business of their dreams as a result.
Hi, Stephen Oliver here, CEO of the National Association of Professional Martial Artists. I'm pleased to be joined by Robert Bloom in Fishkill, New York. So, Robert, welcome to our call today.
How are you, sir? Good afternoon.
I am spectacular. I am in sunny Denver, and you're in dreary Fishkill.
Oh, I'm not dreary today. It's like 85 degrees today, so it's a nice day here.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Anyway, you've got a beautiful area up there in the Hudson Valley. But anyway, Robert, let's give everybody some establishing background on your school. Your school has been there for how long, and you've been running it for how long now?
The school's been open almost 15 years now. I've been running it for the last 3.5, almost 4 years.
Okay, okay. And if I recall correctly, you took it over from your dad. You were working for big corporate America before that, right?
Yes, sir. I worked for IBM Corp for about 9 years. Fresh out of college, went right into IBM, started working as a programmer, worked my way up to management. And then they had the pleasantry of telling me my job was being sent overseas to Brazil.
Lovely. Lovely.
Absolutely. New America.
Yeah. Well, it's the false expectation of corporate America being a reliable career and being self-employed being unreliable is, you know, the good thing about being self-employed is you're the one that has outcome, you know, control over your outcome. And the reality is that big corporate America, there's no guaranteed, lifetime employment anywhere. I mean, IBM was the company known for that. And even that got them in trouble a while back. So, you know, it's the new reality. But anyway, when you inherited your school from your dad, what was it like? What was student count, revenue?
To put it as nicely as possible, it was a mess. We had 40 students doing somewhere right around $5,000 a month.
Okay. Okay. So that was the starting point. 40 students, $4,000 a month. In Fishkill, New York, which is Hudson Valley. What are you, about 90 minutes north of New York City?
If that, maybe even a little bit less. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Not a rapid growth area. In fact, I think your population has been shrinking for a while. What's your population like immediately in the area of your school?
The city that I'm in, Fishkill, is about 12 to 16,000, somewhere in that range. And it's constantly in flux, being that it's a commuter area.
So you've got a stable population base, but we're not talking, you're not in Manhattan or in L.A. or Chicago.
No, not at all.
And so, yeah. So now, by the time you took over the school, you ended up joining up in Peak Performers. How did you come about that? How did you end up working in the Peak Performers group?
Well, you know, it's actually kind of funny. I told my wife when we had originally taken over the school that if we were going to do this, that I didn't want to be broke forever. I have a lot of friends that, they run schools and they're part-time gigs for them. And, you know, that's their thing and that's okay. But, you know, they all have a real job and they work their schools afterwards, which is what I did for all the time that I was with IBM. But, you know, I said if we were going to just do the school, that's not how I wanted it to be. I didn't want to have a job during the day and work at night as well. So we wanted to figure out what we could do about, trying to figure out how to learn the business. My father owned the business all those years, but, with a business background, still didn't know the martial arts business, being that it's very different from everything else. We did some searching. We tried a couple other organizations, and then I met you guys at a show. Talked to Toby at length. Really kind of liked some of the stuff that, that I was hearing. We signed up actually for Maximum Impact first.
Okay.
Spent a few months going through that material. and I got an invitation, I believe, to the very first Extreme Success Academy in Tampa. And we went, you know, we wanted to see what it was all about. You know, while we were there, they had made mention that they were going to be doing, you know, a coaching group, you know, the Peak Performers group. And, you know, I didn't know what to do because our numbers really were not, you know, qualifying for the group, you know, at the time. But, you know, it was something that I had said I really wanted to do. We put an application in and I met with you a little bit. I met with Toby. You know, I had told Toby that, you know, didn't want to stay broke, would pretty much do anything I could. And, you know, you guys were nice enough to make an exception to get us into the Peak Performers group, even though our numbers didn't meet. And, you know, we kind of jumped in head first. I remember the very first coaching meeting I went to, I came home with a list of 73 things to change in my school. You know, and I'm not the kind of person that drags its feet. I implement immediately. I think in the first month, we had about 45 of those things implemented. By the time we came back for our next meeting, they were all done.
Wow. So you really took action. One of the things that I have seen with people that I work with on coaching, and certainly you're one of them now, is that when you have that 74-point to-do list, one of the value of the one-on-one calls, the one-on-one coaching we do, is to help prioritize that to-do list. Because so many times start on priority number 32. Hey, talk about that a little bit.
I mean, you know, when you get that much stuff that you want to make change, that, you know you got all this better that can come from it, but you're staring there looking at this daunting list and you don't even know where to begin. It's nice to have somebody on the other side look at you and go, listen, these are the three things you need to change first. Do those. And then everything else may fall in behind it. You can work this in around it. I know the first thing that we were told to do is when we get home, forget everything else and just start changing prices. You know, start using longer-term contracts. You know, a couple of the things that would help secure the business a little bit better than what we were currently doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, tell them about your trajectory. So you started at, I remember what you said a minute ago, 45 students, 5,000 gross a month. And
yes, sir.
Where have you been for the first half of this year so far on average?
First half of this year, we're doing anywhere between 32 and 38. We've had two record months in there. One was 40 and one was 41 as well.
Okay. So your record month was 41,000 for the year so far.
Yes, sir.
But consistently you're in the mid-30s.
Yes, sir.
Up from 5,000. So you've added about $30,000 a month to your gross. Maybe said differently, you've had almost a 700% growth in the school.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And I mean, and we saw a giant leap right away. I mean, we went from doing 5 to about, I want to say 15, just in the first 6 months to a year.
Really? So you went from 5,000 to 15,000. You had about 300% increase in the first 6 months, more or less.
Yeah, give or take. Yes, sir.
Yeah, maybe a little bit longer. I tend to think that what's typical is to have that kind of growth in about 9 months, within about 9 months. I've seen that happen within. I had one client that went from 12,000 a month, I think it was, to 32,000 a month in 90 days. That's extremely unusual. But what's typical is the kind of numbers you're talking about within 6 to 9 months. So that's fabulous. What kind of active count do you have now?
We just broke 200 this month.
Okay, so
we're sitting at 202. So
beautiful. And let's tell people, if you look at your school, are you predominantly kids or adults? How does the mix work? And tell them a little bit about your style and your martial arts background.
We're actually probably 60-40 kids to adults. You know, we were actually very heavy kid for a while, and then we started an adult kickboxing program. Which, you know, I'll specify is very different than the regular kickboxing program. And we have upgrades in our kickboxing program and things like that. So it's not just a fitness kickboxing program.
Right.
You know, so we are, you know, very heavy children, but we are actually really expanding in the adult market here as well.
Well, tell us about the kickboxing just for a second as an aside. What are you charging for? What are the upgrades? How does that work?
The kickboxing program is between 125 and 149 for entry level,
yep.
And the upgrade program is 249.
through 49.
Yes, sir.
So you're bringing them in around $135, $40 a month, and then
yes,
fairly quickly upgrade them into $249 a month.
Yes, sir, that's
and
correct.
See, well, what would you say to the average guy who says, well, how the hell can you do that? The gym down the street's charging $29 a month, and it has kickboxing built into the thing.
Same situation. I mean, I have a school, literally, I can stand at my front door, take a rock and throw it, hit his school. He's charging $75 a month for his kickboxing program. And we have a school maybe 3 miles in the other direction, and they're charging $85, I believe it is, for theirs. So,
yeah.
And we've got four times the number of students either one of them has in our kickboxing program already.
Yeah, that's an important statement. You have 400%, four times the market share at what ends up being triple the price point once they upgrade. And as we've talked, that replicates when I opened in Denver in the early 80s. I was charging double or triple what anybody else was and had 5-10 times as many students as anybody else did. And, you know, they were always mad, but they couldn't figure out why I could charge double and have double the number of students or more. In fact, we did a little seminar recently, and there was one of your competitors from right down the street. I ended up not getting him. And for your normal martial arts program, you're charging what now?
Entry level right now, sir, is $177, which that's actually going up for our September time frame. It's going up to $197.
Yeah.
And the leadership program is at $297.
Yeah, and I talked to him, and I think he was charging $75 a month.
And I believe, if I remember correctly, he told you that that's the most he could get in our area.
Exactly. And was absolutely convinced of that. Absolutely convinced. So let's give everybody some meat here, Robert. If you were at school, let's take where you started. You're at $5,000 a month. You want to get $15,000 a month. What would be some of the immediate things that you would do?
I would look at my processes, my systems. You know, I mean, we already said that you definitely want to raise your prices if you're not at a higher price point. I mean, there's a lot of guys in the $60 to $100 a month range. I would tell them to double their prices immediately, if not more than that, depending on where they are. If they're not using contracts, obviously they need to be on a 12-month minimum agreement to start. And then I would say from there, you got to look at systems. They got to take a good look at their intro system, their upgrade process, if they even have an upgrade process. I mean, that would be where I would start. I would think those would be the biggest thing for them right off the bat.
You know, and a word of caution, as we both know, you don't just go to your current student body, whether it's 45 or 145, and say the price is double now. No.
I mean, we grandfathered all those people in. You know, whatever they were paying, they were paying. We did, however, try to upgrade a lot of them because we didn't have an upgrade program. So if we could get them in a higher upgrade program, I mean, we didn't make it the new price, but we made it, you know, $50 to $100 more, depending on what we were getting from them.
Yeah.
You know, just to get their price point, their average student value up a little bit higher.
Yeah, and our rule of thumb has been you can bump them 50 to 100% from what they're paying now, as long as you have the right presentation. Now, each transition is a little different. That's why really walking through one-on-one to get that to happen without disrupting, you know, without disrupting people's perspective within a student body is important. Because it's so important about what you've already thought of the thing. Yeah,
I absolutely agree with that. And, I mean, I think that's also what's really great about, you know, being in the coaching programs is that, you know, you can sit down with, you know, you or Toby, not only you guys, but even the other people in the group to, you know, who have been there and done this already and say, hey, listen, this is what I'm looking to do. You know, how would you guys approach it? How did you handle it? I mean, that for me was invaluable to be able to talk to guys like Eric Sparge and Jason Yee, who were in the group at the time, you know, Charles and Penny, who are still in the group. Just a chance to see what they're doing and get their input on how it all works. I mean, I think it's completely invaluable.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and you're describing the process of the mastermind meetings.
Yes, sir.
You know, as you're alluding to, we have school owners in there that are doing $1 million, even $2 million a year. I think our MMA guys in Houston will be at $2 million next year. So, But it all across the board, kids programs, adult programs, cardio kickboxing programs, MMA programs. But so look at your processes. What do you mean specifically by that? What systems and processes would you evaluate early on to see if you have it in place?
I mean, I know for me, my biggest problem was, you know, we didn't know how to take a phone call properly. We didn't know what information to get. We had no follow-up systems. If somebody called and they didn't come in, that was it. You know, we never worked about them. We didn't talk to them again. You know, and now we look at that and I go, if one of my employees doesn't get an email address or a phone number to be able to follow up from somebody, I want to kill them. I mean, you know, just even just info call information was just vital. I mean, once we started doing info calls, right, we saw conversion rates go up, you know, 100%. And it was crazy. You know, and then past that, I mean, I would say even just intro processes. I mean, a lot of guys just take their students and throw them in class, sink or swim kind of per se, which, you know, doesn't help the child, doesn't help the family really get a good feel for what's going on in your school, especially if, you know, you're trying to teach character development and leadership skills.
Absolutely. And so a lot of what we're doing is really keeping track of numbers. And you probably wouldn't be surprised if I told you that most of the schools don't know anything about what their numbers are. They're not keeping track.
No, not at all.
Yeah. But that was an important first step, right? Is keeping track of lead calls, outbound calls, appointments, enrollment, renewal prep, renewals.
We have a statistics tracker that we're using now. I mean, in the beginning, it was just that simple stuff. I mean, but now I can tell you cost per lead, cost per sale, cost, you know, I can tell you what my average student value is. We can go how many people called, how many people followed up on that call, where the ads came from. I mean, we know everything now. I mean, I know what ads pull better than others, you know, what advertising with those ads pulls better than others. I mean, we track every number down to a science.
What is your average what is your average student value right now?
The average student value in the school right now, and in my opinion, it's still too low. It's about 196. I would like to be somewhere around 225, 250.
Yeah, and I'm working on getting all you guys to 300. So to give them a perspective, at 300 value per student, that means that you'd be doing 1,000 a month with your 200 active students. Yeah, and right now, you know, as we talked about, you're in the mid 30s, peaking at in the low 40s, and a lot of the legacy students and black belts are still in the old structure your dad put in place.
Yes, sir. Correct. I mean, I still have some black belts paying, you know, $90 a month, which kills me.
Yeah. Yeah, pisses you off. But anyway, so if you look at in order to maintain 200 students doing 35 to 40,000 a month, how many new enrollments are you bringing in on a monthly basis right now?
Well, you know, with my new program director that we just hired about 3 months ago, she's been pulling phenomenal numbers. I mean, we've had three amazing months. In April, she did 28 enrollments. In May, she did 19. And this month, with a couple of days left, we've got 20.
And just so people know, because, you know, I don't know what time of year they'll be listening to this recording, 20, that was in June. 19 was in May. 28 was in April. So, and my guesstimate is you're going to have a record July and August.
Absolutely. I mean, we have right now from events that we've been doing, I got about 450 to 500 leads that I still haven't even followed up on yet.
Yeah. Define for everybody what you mean by a lead. What is a lead?
We got people who raised their hand and said they're interested in our martial arts classes. These are not even cold leads. These are not even people that said, oh, well, you know, I have a kid and I might be interested in something. These are people that we were actually, you know, either at a movie theater booth or at a community day, that said, I actually want my child to do martial arts classes, or we want to do kickboxing ourselves, or something along those lines.
Yeah, and you've got a name, phone number, mailing address, email address at least.
Yes, sir, all of the above.
Yeah. And of course, the new thing we're going to be working with everybody on is text messaging. So we're going to be doing a lot of text messaging, follow-up, and all of that kind of thing. So shift the other direction here. You've been very good. And I'll take the credit for having written the first book on how to do this stuff. I think most people, well, I know 99% of school owners have no clue what the internet's for, other than you know how to go to their AOL account. But you've been very good at creating search engine placement and using your website effectively. What percentage of your traffic is coming through there right now?
I would say it's actually down a little bit, only because we have so many leads from events right
yeah.
now.
Right.
But on average, we're doing probably 60% of my leads a month are off of my internet.
Okay, so 60% are coming from your website. And do you have a sense of how many of those are coming from search engine and pay-per-click versus how many of them are coming from your other marketing and then they show up at your website?
I think right now, I mean, we own so much organic that my pay-per-click is really down to a 5 or 10% amount. We're doing
yeah.
so much just regular driven traffic now, you know, that it's all coming from organic. You know, before that, you know, before we built up our organic traffic, you know, I would say pay-per-click was a good 50%.
Right. Yeah, it, you know, the interesting story is back when I really was first engaged with this and then teaching my first group of coaching clients, Toby is one of the guys who really took that and ran with it. And at one time, for the school there in Orange City, which is suburban Orlando, we had it where if you looked at the first four pages of Google or Yahoo, is 95%, if not 100%, of the search results were all for his school. You know, and a lot of these guys who are trying to teach you search engine optimization, they're happy if they get, you know, one listing on the fourth place on the search results. We actually had it many times, and for a bunch of my schools as well. We had it where you'd have 15 listings in the first 30 pages, 20 listings in the first 25 results, not pages, but results. And you're similar now in Fishkill.
Yeah, I think if you Google my school in the local area here, karate or Fishkill Martial Arts, I want to say we own probably 98% of the search listings. I think there's maybe two or three on the first six or seven pages we don't own.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're doing it. You may not have heard because you weren't at the last meeting. You were cruising the Bermuda Triangle, if I remember correctly.
Yes, sir.
But,
first vacation I've been able to take in many years.
Yeah. Well, and now that all has changed, it helps to have money and well-trained staff.
Absolutely. I mean, we left the school. We left the school open. I don't close my school when I go away anymore. And they did six contracts while I was away.
Perfect. But we're doing a series of webinars for the Peak Performers Inner Circle on A to Z on internet. And as you know, I mean, everything changes. There's now the Facebook, Twitter universe that people are really excited about. I think they're probably more excited than it justifies so far, but they're real excited about it. There's the search engine stuff, and Google just changed their algorithm again recently. So that all changes fairly regularly, but we're going to walk through that. We walked through at the meeting several of the members' websites. Joe Barucki has really gone from like nothing to a massive amount of traffic online. But we went through and critiqued his website. But we're also going to go through and really go through how to do pay-per-click effectively on Google, how to do pay-per-click effectively with Bing, which also feeds Yahoo, and how to do pay-per-click on Facebook. And so far, by the way, Facebook has, what, 1/1,000th of the click-through rate that Google does? So, you know, the night.
Yeah, and I think that's probably about right. But we've found, you know, what I like about Facebook for us is it's so targeted,
yes.
You know, being that you can geo-target, you can target what they're into, what they like, what they're looking for, that we found that when we do that, we do get a pretty good success rate with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, see, the important thing from a budget standpoint, not click-through rate, it's the, you know, how much you're paying per click and if there's enough traffic. And what we walked through with Greg and I down in Houston, is they're running this big MMA school, but what they don't want is they don't want 23-year-old high school dropouts. What they want is 28 and up, college-educated, professional, even better if they're married. So they can go into Facebook and they're looking for education level, obviously geography, age threshold, and they're sorting out all the guys who would be responsive but they don't want, and sorting for the ones that will be both responsive and that they do want. And it's a very instructive lesson, because especially on the adult market, so many people are just trying to get adults and not thinking about getting the ones that are, you know, smart, stable, you know, have a good income, will be a good student, will be there in 12, 18, 24 months, will continue to learn. All criteria, they're very important. From a marketing standpoint, on an ongoing basis, you're generating a ton of traffic from websites. And the websites, you're doing a lot of search engine optimization as well as pay-per-click. And which means, how much time and effort do you have to spend once you've learned the systems that you've got to keep the website thing going?
I don't spend any time. I spend no time and effort. I have a 15-year-old kid that works for the business. We let him handle it.
Yeah. Well, in clarify for everybody, it's not what most karate schools do, which is the high school kid who knows how to design websites and let him have at it. It's, you know, you train
him
what to do. Yeah.
No, correct. Yes, sir. No, I mean, we walked him through the whole process, all the things that he has to do. Everything that he does, I have an account that's tied to it. So, you know, God forbid something goes belly up, I can still jump back in and save it.
Yeah. But you're getting a lot of traffic by having first learned how to do it, then handed it off to an enthusiastic teenager who had some basic skills, and then once you taught him to do the stuff, he can really make sure. I mean, anybody who's looking for martial arts of any sort in Fishkill or surrounding areas are going to come up with you, and probably mostly only you.
Yeah, for the most part, sir. It's hard to find anybody else other than us.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
So on the events and fairs and movies and so forth, what kind of results have you been getting with those recently?
Well, you know, we just recently changed the way we approach the movies. You know, we had been doing it for a long time with a prize wheel or a bike raffle or things like that, just to get anybody's name and information. But, you know, we were not getting the results and conversions that we wanted. Now, when I say that, right, I mean, we were getting conversions, but I'm crazy about how much I want to convert. I mean, I wasn't happy with a 30% conversion rate or a 20% conversion rate. I wanted to see it go much higher, which, I mean, I know when on those kind of leads, you know, because of the type of lead that they are, you're not going to see much more than that.
Yeah.
So we actually made a tweak, and it came down to the point of I would have rather have gotten, 20 or 30 solid leads than 100 that were useless. So what we decided to do was instead of a bike or a prize wheel, we actually just started raffling off karate classes. We had big signs printed to bring with us, and we're giving away 30 days of free classes, and that's what the raffle was for, instead of just doing the prize wheel kind of thing. And to our surprise, the number of leads we pulled went up. We actually, instead of pulling 50 or 60, we've been pulling 100, 150 a weekend.
Yeah.
My program director did a women's-only event and pulled 112 leads in one night.
That's great. Now, what you just described is there's three levels of that most people don't get. And even some of the big organizations who supposedly have good marketing skills, I've seen what they're teaching. And it's all about just like sitting out there and putting up a sign and handing out flyers. They don't get that it's about get a name, address, phone number, email address, follow up 52 times, if possible, make an appointment or a sale at the time. The other thing that's different about what you just said is, you know, think of prototypical lead box. So you put leads out there, lead boxes. Let's say you get 200 leads a month from lead boxes. But they're all very, very low commitment level. And, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe a level of interest of a 1 or 2. Where what you're talking about is sorting them out by interest and sorting them out by whether they're going to be willing to jump on it or not, and being willing to accept fewer leads for higher quality ones. And again, we've seen that with some of the schools. What happens oftentimes when they come into e-performers or coaching is they end up drinking from fire hose on leads. And then we have to back down and get much higher quality leads, because the mission is to have 20, 30, 40, 50 enrollments a month, not to just, you know, cycle through and spend all your time doing outbound calls and intros.
Correct. So yeah, and I mean, even more so than that, I mean, you know, what we've really seen is, you know, like I said, that conversion rate went through the roof. I mean, we went from, you know, a 20, you know, at a best 25% conversion rate. I mean, we're
yeah.
closing 60% of the leads that we get through the door right now.
That's great.
You know, I mean, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. 60% of the leads that we call, we're getting through the door right now. I mean, our
yeah.
closing ratio, as far as, you know, once they're through the door, are in the 85% range.
Right, right. Well, and the first important part is that you know that. And then once you know what the typical cycle is, you don't know what your numbers are. And when you don't know your numbers, you assume they're pretty good. And then when you start to learn your numbers, it's easy to become depressed because you went from feeling like you're doing great to doing horrible. But once you have realistic information, you can now go about fixing each of the processes. I mean, that's something we recently did with the group is went through the sales process A to Z. But there were a couple of the guys that were getting great traffic but horrible intro to enrollment ratio conversion. So we went through and really identified what the gaps were. Sometimes the gap is staffing, and sometimes it's systems, and sometimes it's scaring them away too early. How would you tell people to think about transitioning from open-ended enrollments to having some kind of renewal or upgrade process in place?
I think it's a must. I mean, I can remember we dreaded fall season.
Yeah.
You know, when Lip League used to come around, I'd lose half my school.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, as we learned over the years, you know, you lose half your school, and then only half of them come back.
Yeah.
And you know, you went from having 50 students to having 30, and then trying to climb back out of the hole, and you know, it was a nasty, vicious, revolving cycle. Plus, you know, I mean, what we've learned over time is that, you know, we're teaching these kids about leadership, and part of leadership is commitment. And it just helps tie your program together. It really helps you explain to a parent what it is you're trying to do for their child. You know, when they understand that you're committed to serving them at the best of your ability for, you know, 12 months, you know, they're not afraid to give you that opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, and one of the things that I've been saying this for 20 years, but at this last meeting we validated it from several sources, but the number I remember at the top of my head was Jonathan Metcalf, and he had numbers going back 10 years for his school. I mean, as you know, he's very meticulous, but he had over 10 years had 1,556, I think the number was, students who had dropped out. 26 students who had dropped out that had committed to black belt training or beyond. And
correct.
We went through with several schools, and we were trying to figure out what the average monthly dropout rate was among the group. And it was somewhere between 3 and 5%. But then we tried to figure out what the average monthly dropout rate was among people who had gone through an appropriate renewal process and committed to train to black belt and beyond. And the best number we could come up with was like 0.1% per month. So
oh, no, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, even in our own students, almost always make it to leadership or didn't make it into an upgrade program of some kind.
Yeah, what kind of ratio are you shooting for that, from new enrollments into they renew?
We would like to be at a minimum of 80%. We're actually still a little bit below that. We're still pulling
yeah.
about 65%, which is... It's systems, and, you know, I know it's not an excuse, but the economy here has actually hurt us a little bit. You know, our average household income here dropped $20,000 last year because IBM's gone on a layoff spree.
So the average income in the area dropped 20%, and that's $20,000 a year.
Yeah, it's actually more than 20% that it dropped. I would say it probably
yeah.
dropped close to almost 30%.
Wow. Wow. Well, and see, here's the thing is the economy has ups and downs, right? And we always tell people, you know, don't worry about the economy. Just, you know, set your own game and make it work. And the thing is whatever your current baseline is, if you just keep doing all the things that you keep doing and the economy plummets, then your numbers are going to plummet pretty much in the ratio of the economy plummeting. In fact, you know, we are discretionary activity. It'll probably plummet quite a bit worse. But you've made this growth from 5,000 to 35,000 to 40,000, one of the worst economies in, you know, I mean, in 50, 60 years. So,
oh, absolutely. But we can't wait for things to turn around because I'll have 500 students.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Without a doubt. So, you know, let's wrap up here by giving people three or four tips on really what they should be thinking about from a standpoint of growing their school and taking the kind of rapid growth that you've taken. First, what would you tell them about their belief systems? Again, as you know, I just recently talked to a whole bunch of school owners one-on-one, and I found that, one, a lot of them who are at 5,000 would be happy to get to 7,000. So they have very limited beliefs in where they're at, where they should be. Two is they have limited value in their program and are very hesitant to make a jump into the kind of price points that you're talking about. Three, they have an assumption about what people will do. So a lot of them think that the only market there is right now is adult man MMA, for instance. So what would you tell them if they're at the place that you used to be at and they want to make that big jump?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? And when you say belief systems, the biggest problem is everybody thinks it's a bad thing to make money. You know, that for some reason, I don't know what's gone on in this country, but everybody thinks that, you know, if I make a little bit of money, everybody's going to hate me. You know, my students, they love it when I pull up in my brand new car. They ask me how my vacations are. They wish me good luck, and they hope I have a nice time when I'm not in the school. There's nobody jealous of our success because they know how hard we've worked for it.
Yeah.
If anything, I think they're happy that the people that are teaching their kids about leadership are actually successful themselves, which I think is really important. I mean, if you're going to be working with children and teaching them leadership and life skills, well, you know, you should probably have some yourself.
Exactly.
You know, which is why we stress the reading, which is why you and Toby, you know, every time we're together, I think I get four or five new books to go home and read, and I run right out to the library or I run up to the bookstore and buy them, one or the other.
Yeah, you know, and I would say even further than that, if you're teaching success skills to people, it's hard to be credible if you don't look like you're successful.
Absolutely.
And it's hard for them to believe that you're going to be there in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years for them to really commit to this long term if it looks like you or your school are on their last legs, right? So,
well,
you know, those two
I think that's part of, you know, part of that mindset is what kills being able to even have an upgrade program. I mean, you know, if you drive up in your beat-up car every day and, you know, you barely have enough money to afford a new uniform and, you know, you're making ends scrape by, how are you going to sell somebody, you know, a $15,000 upgrade program? Or, you know, in your case, I know you guys are on a five-year plan. I think your upgrades are in the 25,000 range, right?
Yeah, they can be. Yeah, and that shocks people. As you know, I don't do many of these things personally anymore, but I walked into one of the schools at Christmas, and somebody wrote me, I think I showed you the picture of the check. What was it, $27,900 for a leadership program? And, you know, and people are shocked. They think it's hard to get a $200 check or a $300 check, but it's all about creating that value in the program. From a martial arts standpoint, in order to run a $40,000 a month school, and of course our mission is to get you to be $1 million a year school, but in order to run a $40,000 a month school, do you water down what you're doing? Do you have to, you know, make your curriculum weaker or less effective? How has that affected you over the process?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I have a very traditional background. I'm a 6'3 black belt in Kung Soo Do, 6'3 black belt in ITF Taekwondo. You know, I came from very traditional roots, right? One of the things I had always told my wife was, yeah, we want to make money at this, but I'm not going to kill my art in the process. And, you know, and everybody goes in with that mindset, right? Because you don't know, you know, when you're doing $5,000 a month, you have no idea what these guys doing, you know, 40 and 50 have done with their program. And I got to tell you, the guys that we hang out with, you know, the guys from the Inner Circle group, not only are their schools extremely successful, but they have some of the best martial artists that I've ever seen. You know, I mean, I've had opportunities to go to a few of their schools. I've been to Penny Patassi School. I've been to Charles Dudley School. Their students are just stellar, top-notch martial artists. And I mean, even myself with our own school, we take a team every year to U.S. Nationals. Last year we had 8 U.S. National champions come out of the school. So the art doesn't suffer at all, and I think that's a big misconception. Everyone thinks that, well, I can't teach forms anymore because they're not fun, or I can't do, self-defense anymore because it's dangerous or whatever, and parents don't buy into that. It's not true. It's all in how it's presented. It's all in how you present your program. You got to be able to show value the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The last thing, you talked about pricing. When I talk to people about, what I charge for consulting or, consulting days or for what we charge for P-performers or coaching or inner circle, it's the same reaction that your friends in our industry had with you charging $249 a month or whatnot. They think that it's crazy. And what would you tell them about return on investment versus, they're thinking about what the expense is on those things?
Well, it's funny because you've probably heard me say this a few times as I've talked to new people thinking about coming into the programs and stuff. You always say they think it's crazy, or they say they think it's crazy. And I personally have always felt that I think it's crazy if they don't do it. Everybody's common excuse is, oh, my God, I can't afford to do that. Well, I come from a standpoint where I was broke. I know what it's like. I mean, in the first 2 years I had my school, as we tried to build it, I had no other job. My wife didn't have a job. We racked up quite a bit of debt on credit cards that, I now no longer have because my school's successful. So yeah. I know what broke like, and I don't ever want to go back there. But the reason I say that, I think it's crazy if they don't, I think they can't afford not to. I'm in the opinion that if you don't take the steps to continue to grow, that you're just going to fall behind and you're going to drown at some point. And, especially the way things are now, the schools that are not taking action to help themselves, they're just going to get left in the wayside because this economy, this slump is not over with. We've got a few more years of this, I think, at a minimum of 12 more months. And I think there's a lot of schools. I mean, I think we said there was, 6,000 schools in the last couple of years that have gone under?
Exactly.
I can't see why we're not going to see more, unless people start really waking up and realizing, hey, I can keep the integrity in my art, but I should be trying to make some money at this business as well.
Yeah. Well, and what people even miss with that 6,000 number is that was net loss. So that was schools gone out of business minus startups, right? And what happens in this industry is somewhere between 20% and 25% go out of business every year. And, Tony Robbins' line is, you can't, you must, right? And the thing about it is, if somebody is struggling and they don't step up to the plate, get somebody who's going to coach them, get in a positive peer group, get the tools and information they need, all they're doing is guaranteeing themselves a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, being exactly where they're at if they're even still in business.
We're poised for hyperinflation. I mean, it's going to hit. And, a school doing $5,000 a month now may be able to survive part-time. If hyperinflation hits, a school doing $5,000 a month now will be like doing two. There's a lot of schools that are just, they're not going to make it.
Yeah. Without a doubt, but the higher end, if you were to look ahead a year, where do you think your main school will be? And I know you're going to be in the middle of a grand opening for a second school as well. But what's your realistic target given your growth trajectory for your main school?
We're looking to be between 45 and 50 by the end of the year.
Okay, so in the next 6 months to be in the 45 to 50 range. And
yes,
my
sir.
Mission is to get you to a million a year, and I think that's completely doable with the foundation we've built now.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the long-term goal, there's no doubt.
Well, Robert, hopefully this has been very, very effective for you, or if not for you, for our members. I appreciate you sharing so openly with everybody, and I'm sure we'll do a follow-up and get them even more information about your school in the coming months and show them how that we've taken you from 35 to 50 and then from 50 to a million.
Absolutely, sir. I look forward to it.
Thank you, Robert, and I hope you have a great rest of your day and enjoy your nice weather there in the Hudson Valley.
Thank you, sir. And if I may, before we finish, you know, just to the school owners that are listening, you know, stop telling yourselves you guys can't do it. Stop telling yourselves that it's not fair. Just go out and make it happen, you know. Get Toby or Master Oliver on board with you and, you know, make NAPMA, you know, work for you guys like it's worked for us. Because, I mean, without you guys, we wouldn't be where we are. And, you know, my family and I owe you guys the world.
Thank you very much for that. I certainly appreciate it. And, you know, that's, of course, my mission in life now is to create a whole bunch of $500,000 to $1 million-a-year schools. Most importantly, Robert, the inner circle is all going to be in the top 3% and a lot of them in the top 1% of the U.S. income bracket. So the top 3% is 200,000 and up, and the top 1% is, I think, $250,000 and up. So we're going to make sure that every one of you guys are in that range this year.
Awesome.
I'm sure you're in favor of that.
Absolutely. I've got my eyes on a convertible Mercedes that I've been looking at for a few years, so that'll be a nice present.
Works for me. Okay, have a great afternoon, and thanks for everybody for listening in.
Thank you, sir. You too.